This is part two, well, it's part several of Romans 8, but part two of one section, Suffering Today, Glory Tomorrow. And I admitted a few weeks ago that I want glory today and glory tomorrow and glory the next day. But it's very clear from the scriptures that God's path is always suffering before glory. Even when he sent his son, it was suffering before glory. Today we're going to talk about the proper perspective when suffering as we travel through this amazing chapter. I was looking up some stories about ants. Now my Aunt Mary's back there, but that's not that ant I'm talking about, right? A-N-T, ants. I discovered that if you were to place a foreign ant of a different species into a colony that he did not belong to. Here's an ant hill, and you have a foreign ant, different kind of species, and you drop them in there. Other ants will almost immediately attack it, kill it, and overwhelm it. Now, if you put a foreign ant of the same species in that ant colony, the scientists say that it might be able to hang around for a little while, but eventually the other ants would realize that they do not belong there, and they will also attack and kill him if he didn't decide to be smart and escape before that happened. You know, it's a solid biblical truth that God has pretty much put us, his followers, into an anthill that's foreign. In a world where we do not belong, a world that is full of sin and rebellion, a world where Satan is the prince and the power of the air, although God is always sovereignly in charge of all that. And while we do not always face severe suffering and severe persecution, God's followers from time to time will suffer for their faith. You might remember the parable of the talents that Jesus spoke, which is in Matthew 21. I'm just going to summarize it here. There was an owner of a vineyard, and the owner was going away for some time. And so, as was customary, that he would hire some tenants to run the vineyard for him. And then when it was time for him to get fruit, his harvest, he would send his servants and get his portion, and the tenants would have their portion. That's just the way it worked. Well, the story goes, as Jesus told it, is that he sent his servants to get his fruit, and they killed them. He sent more servants, and they killed him as well. Then the owner of the vineyard said, I'll send my son. They surely will respect my son. So he sends his son, and what do they do to his son? They kill him as well, and they seized him. Now, Jesus was speaking to the chief priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he was talking directly to them. I sent all my servants, God said, and what did you do? You killed them. Now I've sent my son, and you're going to kill him as well. And they didn't take too kindly of that, and they definitely wanted to kill Jesus. So Jesus himself was placed in an anthill where he was not received, where he was rejected, and he was killed, all according to God's plan. Matthew 10:22 says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. And that's just the truth. It doesn't mean that every second of every day that people are throwing stones at you or shooting arrows at you. But from time to time, Peter said, if need be, you will face many trials and many types of suffering. So we looked at 2 weeks ago, since because of the storm we didn't meet last week, suffering and glory. And that glory awaits us, but suffering comes first. Today, suffering and perspective. What kind of perspective are you and I to take when God brings suffering into our lives? Let me give you the definition of perspective. It is the capacity to view things in their true relations or relative importance. It's a point of view. It's simply a way of looking at things. If a weightlifter goes into the gym and he begins weightlifting and thinks that results will be produced right away from what he desires to turn his body into, he will be frustrated and probably give up. He has a wrong perspective. He does not understand that he must be dedicated, he must be committed, he also has to eat right if he really is into that kind of thing. He has to spend time, he has to wait for time to get there, for things to develop. You can tell a child to go clean their room, and after that they can have the ice cream or the toy that they want. Now, you and I as adults know that it'll take him, what, 5 minutes to put the toys away? But what does a child usually do? Scream and throw a fit, and it's like, it's going to take me eternity to clean my room. And you're sitting there going, just go and put the toys away 3 minutes, and you can have the wonderful bowl of ice cream with the chocolate on top. And they throw a fit, and it's hard for us. They have the wrong perspective. It's like when I used to have to trim the fence at the house over here. It seemed like 47 miles from one end to the other. Or when I had to take the garbage out every Wednesday night, it seemed like 2 miles from the back of the house to the curb. I remember visiting after being gone for a while in college, and I looked at it and went, oh, goodness gracious. I could almost jump, 5 jumps, and I'm there, you know. But perspective is the way you look at things. And if you and I are going to make it through suffering, we need to have the proper perspective, because suffering always comes before glory. That's just the way it is in this anthill that God has put us in. So let's go through a few things in this verse 18. The first one is there's something we must know. Something you and I must know. Notice what he said in verse 18. For I consider, lagidzomai is the word. In other words, it means to, I think this way, I've come to a conclusion, this is the bottom line, I've thought everything through, I have looked at every angle, I've seen what God says, this is my thinking, I consider, this is the bottom line. Now, his mind is thinking on two things, what's going on now and what's going on in the future. For the bottom line of my conclusion that the sufferings of present time are not worthy of the glory that's going to be revealed to us. So this is the bottom line, what he's going to tell us, related to two things. What's going on now and what is going to be a reality in the future for God's adopted children that we saw in these previous great verses. So what he's about to say to us is his settled conclusion of faith and truth. So this is something we must know. Secondly, it is something we experience, okay? For I consider, I understand, this is my perspective. This is the bottom line. I've looked at all of God's principles and his word, and I know the truth. So this is the bottom line that the sufferings of this present time, sufferings, pathema, is a word which means enduring, pain, passion. We often call it the passion of Christ. It's an affliction. It's an emotion. It's difficulties. So we know that you and I are going to experience pathema, sufferings. But I must think a certain way because these sufferings, these pain, this enduring, this passion, this heartache, this difficulty is going to come into my life. But remember, what kind of suffering is it? It's not just maybe getting your finger caught in the door. Is there anything worse than that? Maybe a paper cut. Probably more things than that. But we do suffer here. But this is suffering for God's truth. Suffering because you're a child of God. R.C. Sproul, who passed away, I think, a couple of years ago, a great Bible teacher, told a story of his close friend. His close friend grew up on the mission field and was active with his father. He was at that time in the interior of Africa. His friend told stories of where they lived because they were there for the gospel mission of having to kill a spitting cobra in his bedroom. How'd you like to wake up at 3 a.m. to use the restroom and you go around the corner of the bed and I don't know what this cobra sounds like. Well, I mean, raring up like that. I mean, when they flare out. Well, that's this person experiences because he was on the mission field. He said a crocodile once jumped into his small canoe. How would you like to have that? Oh my gosh, what would you do? You can't jump out because there's probably other crocodiles around there. I don't think he said how he got his father saved him from that. He was rescued once by his father when surrounded by a hungry pride of lions. Then he tells the story of the end of his father's life. They were in Ethiopia. They were camped at a remote area. During the night, some communist guerrillas showed up in their camp, awakened them, dragged them up there, put them in front of the firing squad. They opened fire and killed his dad. He was standing right next, well, at least close to him. and they killed his dad, and then they said, ready, aim, fire, and shot him. And somehow, he only had a ton of powder wounds, is that what it, powder burns on him, and minor flesh wounds. How that happened, only God's hand was upon him. But he fell to the ground, and the soldiers left, and then after he was sure they were left, he hand dug a grave, buried his father, and escaped into the night. Now, you and I may never face suffering like that for the gospel. In fact, we probably never will. But because of our faith, we do at times experience suffering for the gospel. You may lose a family member. I'm not talking about physical death, but you might lose the separation. They may think you're nuts giving your life to Christ. They may not want anything to do with you. People lose family members. Sometimes people lose a mate. The husband or wife wants nothing to do with your faith. Your children. Children may not want nothing to do with what is most crucially important to you. You may lose a job because of your faith. You may lose a friend, a prospective boy or girl you're interested in. Once they find out your faith, I don't want nothing to do with that. You're crazy. We may be ridiculed, scorned, passed over for jobs, lied about, and hundreds of other things that bring suffering and pain. But notice what he says here. Here's the bottom line, that all of this suffering when of the present time. You know what that means? Here and now. While we're living here on earth, we suffer in this present time, here in this season. This word time could mean a season. So we're placed in this anthill. We are a foreign species because we've been adopted into God's family. We have been changed. We don't think like the world. We don't act like the world. We believe truth when the world goes an opposite way, which that itself can bring great suffering. We might be attacked by the other ants when they come. Aren't ants gross? We're attacked by them because we are not a part of that colony, a part of this kingdom. As the old song said, we are just passing through. Well, there's a third thing he said. Not only do we something we know, that's something we are going to experience suffering, but there is something we believe. Go back to verse 18. For here's the bottom line, here's my perspective, that these difficult heartaches and suffering of the here and now are not worthy, are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. This is an amazing perspective. This is an absolute necessity. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say you were driving into work, and you got to an intersection, and there's a little baby deer just right out there, right in the middle of the road. And you maybe gently honk, if there's such a thing, and you decide to get out of your car, and you make your way around the car, and you're talking real nice to Bambi, and come on, let's get out of the road, and it doesn't run away from you, and you are able to coerce that cute little baby deer to get off the road. And then when you get off the road, you see the deer's mama over there, and that baby deer sees it, and just the cutest trot ever goes over, and you have reunited mama and baby deer. So you can't wait to tell that story at work, right? This is great. I can't wait to get there. You wouldn't believe what happened. So you go into your workstation. There's 10, 15, 20 people around, and you are getting ready to tell. You wouldn't believe. All of a sudden, somebody pipes in and says, you wouldn't believe what happened to me on the way to work today. You're going, oh, I was at this intersection. There were several cars. This lady got out of her car, and she's screaming, and she's waving her hands, and I thought, I better get out and help. So I put my car in park. I went across the intersection there and opened the door and realized that this teenage daughter of hers was choking in the back seat. I took the seatbelt off and I drugged the daughter out and I got her on the ground. I checked for a pulse and there was no pulse. Then I began CPR and I began doing compressions and I saw somebody walk by and I said, call the police, call the police. And so I'm doing these compressions. It seemed like forever and I'm just absolutely worn out and I'm breathing and I'm compressing and finally the police and the ambulance get there and they pull me off and take over and I'm exhausted and there's a crowd around us, and now suddenly she begins to breathe, and she's alive, and the mom is crying, and I'm crying. The whole crowd is clapping for me, and I'm a hero. And you're sitting there with your little Bambi story, and you're listening to that. Now, what are you going to do with your Bambi story now? You're not going to say a word, are you? I mean, what's a Bambi story compared to that? You see, it just doesn't match, does it? I consider the bottom line of the fact is that the heartaches and the suffering of where we are right now are not worth comparing. They will never be equal to what awaits us. Not worth comparing is the Greek word axios, which simply means weight of matching value. If you picture a scale and the weight of your side goes down, there's no matching value of the suffering we go through compared to the glory that's coming. The suffering of the here and now is worth it. It's never going to outweigh glory. It's always worth suffering. Someone said this, glory is so great, quote, that it's not worthy of mention are the sufferings of this present season. He thinks of time not in its length, but in its limit, because it will one day end. In view of the glory about to be unveiled upon us, unveiled and then heaped upon us in its golden fullness. Calvin said this, it ought not indeed be grievous to us if we must pass through various afflictions into celestial glory, since these, when compared with the greatness of that glory, are of the least moment. Now, that does not mean that when we suffer here that we don't feel pain. It doesn't mean that, you know, the doctor calls us and says, hey, just wanted you to know that you've got cancer. Oh, thank you. It doesn't mean that we don't feel pain and that our suffering is not real, even though we may not have a cobra spitting at us or have our father gunned down like some Christians have suffered or been put at the stake or Daniel in the lion's den. Our suffering is real, no matter what level it is. That's not what he's saying, but I love the way he worded that. They cannot be compared with the greatness of that glory. They are of the least moment, the sufferings that we go through. And I might have shared this story years ago, but it came to my mind that when I was working at the airport in Illinois, we had the National Beverage Corporation come. National Beverage Corporation makes sodas like Shasta, Faygo, and those kind of sodas. And so they would come and they would bring their plane and we would work on that airplane. And it was called a Falcon 2000 jet. Now, some pilots and things would give you $5, $10, $20 for a tip. That was pretty good. They would send us pallets, two or three pallets full of soda. And they would put it in the back of the hangar, and you could just go and grab as many boxes of soda as you wanted to. It was kind of a neat tip, so you always were able to drink what was bad for you. So that was a good tip. Well, they bought a brand new Falcon 2000 jet. Oh, the paint was gorgeous. I could comb my hair in it, and it was just wonderful. Every time the pilot was getting ready to get up into that plane, he'd put those booty things on over the shoes, and we were told, do not walk in that airplane. Well, they had the beautiful brand new Falcon 2000 jet parked here, and they had the old one parked here. The old one's paint was faded and dull. You couldn't see anything in it. You could tell his paint was starting to chip. It just didn't look good. And so somebody was coming to look at buying the old Falcon 2000. What do you think the bosses told us to do with the old one and the new one? Now, separate them. Because you do not want the prospective buyers to come and because what's the new one going to make the old one look like? I'm not giving you $14 million for this. It looks like junk. So I can't remember if we took the old, I think we took the old one way, way down, like way down to our other hangars and got the new one in another hangar so they could not compare. There was no comparison. Here's the bottom line. The suffering, the heartaches of our life here on earth right now do not weigh anything compared to what is going to be ours in the future. There simply is no comparison, which means it is always worth it. Remember the parable of the tenants we looked at earlier? It was interesting what I did not read. At the end of that parable, when therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Yes, so glory's coming, the owner's coming back. They said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. So those who do not know Christ those who are at home in this anthill, that's their future. If they do not repent and turn to Christ, that's their future. He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants. Jesus then said to them, have you never read in the scriptures the stone that the builders rejected? And this is why we suffer. They rejected the stone, which is Jesus. He has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And that is why we suffer, because the true Savior, the Savior was rejected. And marvel not that you suffer, because if the Master suffers, so will we. He went on to say, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing its fruits. That's the glory. And the one who falls on this stone, Jesus, will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush them. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. That's why the same thing's true. Jesus was in the anthill, and it wasn't time to die yet, so God didn't let them grab him. They were afraid of the crowds. We're attacked in this anthill. And look at the rest of the verse. It's not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That's almost hard to fathom, isn't it? The glory that's coming our way, beyond human comprehension, that any amount of suffering here isn't even worth mentioning up there. It's like the Bambi story and the teenage daughter who was choking to death. It's not even worth it. Being fed to the lions, it's worth it. Being burned at the stake, which many Christians were burned at the stake. Being blamed for the ills of society, well, the Christians burned down Rome. It's the Christians that are causing all of the problems. Tortured and persecuted in the most cruel ways imaginable, which Christians were. Imprisoned for your faith, which many Christians down through the years have been. Being rejected by your family, by your friends, by coworkers, by neighbors, by your government. Being passed over for that job or promotion because you took a stand. Ridiculed and looked down because of your faith. The heartache of your children or grandchildren not following the Lord. The pain of your husband or wife rejecting your faith. The sorrow when death comes and that person did not know Christ. I always love to read Hebrews 11, which talks about this very thing, the great chapter of faith. List all these great things that happened to these followers of Christ. But then it says, but some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to better life. That's the glory. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were cut in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. Why? Because they were kicked out of town. It's just like in our culture today. You just cancel people out. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. The Christians were the ones who were wandering about in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Who were the cavemen? They were Christians. I'm not saying all of them were, but many of them had to be forced to live out of the cities and into the caves, says right there. But it says the world was not worthy. Same word, wait. Since God has provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. There is glory awaiting us. And that's what back in Romans 8 it says, it is not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. The glory. In fact, I've got another one up there. I think I failed to put it in here. Something we expect. Yeah, something we expect. And what is that we are to expect? The coming glory. Coming glory. In fact, the word coming here means it's about to happen. What is sure to happen? The word revealed here is apokalupto, apocalypse, like revelation, that kind of thing. This glory is coming to us, and it's going to be apokalupto, uncovered. It's going to be revealed. What is hidden and what is invisible now is going to be made known. And notice how personal it is in verse 18. with the glory that is going to be revealed to only the really, really, to the preachers. Is that what it says? To us. Who's the us? The ones who have been adopted into Christ's family, who call God Abba Father, who are children, who are heirs with Christ, and their suffering proves it. So it's very personal. This glory is coming, and it's coming to us because of what Christ did. That coming day. Now, what an amazing perspective to know that this is not the end. I honestly don't know how people live here without knowing of glory coming. I think it'd be pretty depressing, would it not? I mean, this is not the end. We have waiting for us a revealing that is beyond description. You ever watch those, and I don't know if, I guess they're kind of interesting, but my wife, Kelly, likes to watch them, where, you know, they get a couple to buy a house, and it's a mess, and they walk through the house. Now, we can move this wall here, and we can put a vanity here, and a fireplace here, and stone here. And so the whole show is now they're going around building this, and then they have what? The reveal day! And there's one show where they have a big old picture that covers the house, and they roll half of them apart, one half this way and one half this way. Are you ready to see your new home? You know? And so they pull those back, you know, and oh, you ready to go in? Oh, marble countertops. What, you know what I've learned by watching those shows? You cannot be happy and you cannot have joy in your life if you do not have marble countertops. It's like nothing wrong with marble countertops, but I always think, my goodness, it's almost like we can't go another day without marble countertops. I just won't have it. And I'm looking at that kitchen going, I'd love to have that kitchen. This stuff's gone. It's out of date. This is gone. Our budget is $47 million. And then, you know, it's like, what? And you know, now I'm off track here, but you know what the one that bugs me the most is when they're buying a second home in some island off of wherever. You know, we have just got to be able to get close to the beach. And their job is licking stamps. Yeah, I know it. And I always say, where do you get the money? Right, now that I've blown those shows out of the water. But it's a reveal. And it is beautiful when they walk through those homes. I mean, it's like, wow. You remember the fireplace that was up on the ceiling? Well, we moved it over here now. Oh, it's the embers don't fall on us. It's going to be so great over there, you know. And it is sharp, you know. They do amazing. But this is incomparable, if that's a word. The glory that is apocalypto going to be opened up and revealed to us. You know, I think there's more about hell in the scriptures than heaven. If I'm not mistaken, it speaks more of that. When Paul, who actually was taken to heaven and brought back, as he shared, what did he say? I'm speechless. He couldn't even, and then he got a thorn in the flesh so he wouldn't get proud. He said, there's no words. It's beyond our comprehension. So as we conclude, picture a very large scale. On one side is labeled coming glory, and on the other side is labeled present suffering. No matter what you place in present suffering, it will never tip the scales. Never. Whether it's being next to your father when he's shot by communists, or whether it's your child rejected you because of your faith in Christ, it'll never outweigh glory. In other words, it's always worth it. That's what Paul is letting us know. So our perspective is not to think the here and the now is it, but there is coming a day where all of this won't even be worth mentioning. It'll be like a Bambi story. You get to heaven, you know, and you see the gate. By the way, it's not streets of gold. It's street of gold. It's all connected. And, you know, pure, transparent gold street, walls of pearl and diamonds and just brightness and absolutely amazing. You see loved ones who've gone before you. You see Jesus, which is the first thing you'll see. And you get up into heaven and you see Moses and Abraham and Jesus. Hey, I want to tell you about Bambi. I was driving to work one day and I stopped. What? Incomparable, right? not worthy to be compared. So what Paul is saying here, we're going to talk more about, he doesn't stop with it next week. What he's saying here is suffering always comes before glory, but here is the proper perspective. It hurts now, it's painful now, our hearts break now, we wish we weren't in it now, we're being attacked, whatever it is, but I want you to have know this, and the bottom line, get it down deep in your soul, that whatever you're going through right now is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be yours in the future. Keep that front and center. That's what he's saying. As Calvin said, but only lightens the heaviness of the cross by a comparison with the greatness of glory. This perspective lightens the heaviness of the cross we are to bear as we compare it with the greatness of glory in order to confirm the minds of the faithful in patience. We stay patient. And I bring this song up from time to time, but it's kind of neat. I don't know which, there's so many verses. I don't know if I want to read them all. Now, let me just read the last verse. Life's day will soon be o'er. All storms forever past will cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. The chorus is, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face all sorrow will erase. So, bravely run the race till we see Christ. Father, thank you for just the continuous account here in Romans 8 of your adopted children and the sufferings we face, and we'll expand it next week. But help us, Lord, to believe this and put this perspective in front of us at all times, that whatever we're going through, whatever it is for our faith, in the present time is not worthy to even speak about compared to what you are going to unveil in the future. But Lord, we know that suffering does hurt and it is painful, so we always pray for grace. We pray for wisdom. We pray for strength. We pray that you'd help us to shine forth a testimony that lets others know that we have a reveal coming beyond any reveal anyone could ever comprehend. So change our perspective and give us a boldness to suffer for you now, knowing what is awaiting us in the future. We pray by faith in Christ's precious name. Amen. We'll stand together and close in song.